Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
This is, again, not a meeting to select the city manager. This is a meeting to select final interviews. This might be the most important decision this council makes, to select such an important leader with this much responsibility and accountability to the public.
City of Milton holding its City Council Executive Committee meeting this week. And as you heard there, Mayor Heather Lindsay admonishing the delegates that this is a pretty big deal, trying to figure out who's going to be the next city manager, and that the purpose of this meeting is not to pick a winner, but to pick a slate of finalists. The way this process had worked, if you recall, is Randy Jorgensen, who's the city manager, announced that he was going to be retiring in August or September. Now I forget, maybe September. Anyway, and then that they were going to go through a process and try to, it was a question whether to hire a search firm or, have somebody kind of shepherd through the resumes. And they basically went with retired city administrator Buzz Eddy from Gulf Breeze, who's been counseling, other cities on how to do their processes. And he goes in and he helps fix basically messed up cities. That's not the case here. But he's got great experience. There was some argument about whether he would be a fair judge of the people because, some of the, skeptics in the public and also on the city council were, kind of wondering. And of course, Buzz Eddy's fantastic at this. So their concerns, like are often the case, were misplaced. So they bring him in. They get somewhere in the vicinity of 50. I forget the exact number, resumes. And then they have a meeting where they decide to, cut down to like 9 or so that are going to do Zoom interviews. And they got it down to, I think it was 8 is what they wound up cutting down to, 8. And in that process, there was one guy who hadn't been responsive, and so they weren't sure, but it turned out he had like sick family members, a kid, and so that was the explanation. So they made sure to add him onto the list of 8. Zimmerman was his last name. So then they did the Zoom interviews. And in the Zoom interviews, there was, I think, 1 or maybe 2 that didn't even show up or couldn't participate or had trouble with the technology or something. But they got a good, 6 or 7 people. This was pre-scheduled questions that the people doing the interviews got in advance. So you're going to ask them these 12 questions, and they know what the questions are in advance, and they know that they've got this much time, and so they can prepare their answers, and then they can basically read from their answers. And in the backdrop to all of this, there's a little bit of drama. There's always a little bit of drama in Milton. And the drama is that the Pitchfork Posse people, the people who are primarily motivated by doing anything they can to stop the wastewater treatment plant from going in the location that it's going to go, in that, site over by the jail, it's kind of in the vicinity of Cooper's Basin off of Blackwater Creek, or Blackwater River. So it's kind of, that's been their driving passion. But they show up and do a lot of other things. They hate Randy because they view Randy, the current city manager, as the reason that, it's going in the location that they don't want. They hate Ed Spears because they believe that Ed Spears is basically like Randy Jr., his Randy's protege. They don't want Ed to become the next city manager. They'd be glad to make both of them quit. They'd be glad to make the grants writer quit. They'd be glad to get rid of anything they can do to get rid of this wastewater treatment plant being built where it's going to be built. Okay, that's kind of the backdrop. So when and there are 2 people on city council, at least 1, and I think really fair to say 2, that also are sort of representatives of those folks, or at least they hate Ed Spears, okay? One of the people who hates Ed Spears is Marilyn Farrow, who was the one who was very, she didn't like what happened when Jeff Snow and Ed Spears went and talked to the realtors, and they talked about the wastewater treatment plan, and they said some stuff that made people upset, okay? And you'll remember the name Pam Mitchell. She's one of the key activists who lives in Cooper Basin, and she's very upset about the wastewater treatment plan, and she's been doing everything she can to stymie this process. Okay, that's all just backdrop, okay, if you're new to the show. So then we get to this, where again, Marilyn Farrow has kind of had, issues with Ed Spears, and she says,
a point of order, if there are any candidates present in the room or in the building, even though I know this is a public meeting, I think it would be appropriate for them to depart.
Okay, understood. There is 1 candidate in the room. Mr. Spears, I believe, is here. And if you don't mind stepping out of the room to allow for free discussion, that would be helpful. Thank you, sir.
And Ed was one of the semifinalists. He's the only one who's an in-house candidate. And he's the, I always call him the assistant city manager. That may not be his official title. That's just kind of how it functions. But, you know, he's the economic development director for sure. I know that's at least one of his titles. And so Marilyn says, you know, can we get Ed out of the room? We can't really have this conversation with the candidates in the room. I'm not really sure why that is, but it seemed squirrely to me, but nobody put up a fuss, and the mayor said, yeah, fine, go ahead. All right, so they go through their list of who they like as the final two or three that they're each going to prefer for this finalist slate out of the semifinalists. And Marilyn Farrow says, you know, honestly, everybody else has kind of given their two so far, or three, I think, in one case. But she just says, you know, I have my one. I'm done. I know what I want.
I actually thought that there was one stellar candidate that stood out above them all. And it potentially could be a situation where we just select that one candidate. Can we go ahead and choose him now?
You can make a motion, ma'am.
Well, I have a comment first, if you'd like.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that we consider Scott Collins and just move forward with that and invite him to our meeting on July 11th.
So remember, the goal here for these folks is the Pitchfork Posse in particular, Marilyn Farrow, I'm assuming based on what she said and did last night or earlier this week, is anything to avoid Ed Spears getting the job. Okay, that's their goal. So when she says, you know, I've got my one, let's go with Scott Collins. I don't think we need to do anything else. She's trying to avoid anything that would put a like finalist slate in where, you know, maybe Scott Collins doesn't interview well in person. Maybe Ed Spears doesn't interview well in person. Who knows? But they're so badly wanting to make sure that Ed Spears doesn't get the job that any procedural mechanism to make that happen, just kind of like the same tactics they've been using with the wastewater treatment plant, anything to make sure they get what they want. So Jeff Snow says, I mean, I'd like to hear from other people.
I would just say I'd like to hear a couple of interviews in person with us and get a better feel. And that's, I don't disagree with your choice as one of the top ones, but that's why I'm down to two myself. But I'm willing to listen to the council of what they'd like to do.
And so what he's saying is, well, I mean, let's at least hear two or maybe three, you know. I don't disagree that Scott Collins should definitely be a finalist, which they all seem to like him quite a bit. But let's not jump the process and, you know, just assume that somebody's right because they were able. He didn't say this. I'm saying this. He did very well in a scripted interview scenario where he had the questions and could prepare his answers in advance. And, you know, I don't know how he's going to interact in person. You know, so let's at least have two. Well, so he moves to have Scott Collins and Ed Spears invited. Roxanne Meese seconds. In this, what you've got kind of here is you've got the Roxanne Meese and Jeff Snow kind of wing of the council, and then you've also got the Marilyn Farrow, Mike Cusack, and sort of Matt Jarrett wing of the council. Weirdly, even though Matt's like never around, he actually had to leave this meeting early. He's the one who barely qualifies on attendance in order to stay on the council. But he seconded the motion to have just Scott Collins do it. So Jeff tries to get Ed added, and that fails 6-2. So the only two that want to make sure that they have another round of meetings are him and Roxanne Meese, and that fails. So then they put forward the motion to do just Scott Collins, and
essentially voting yes means you agree with Mr. Collins being number one, I suppose. And it passed 8-0. Right.
And by the way, you might want to hear the reaction when the vote to add Ed Spears failed.
Okay, it failed. The amendment failed.
More excitement about, I mean, and I don't know why they've got a mic system that kind of cuts off sometimes when the crowd gets loud. It's like it's got a threshold for the volume. But anyway, when Ed Spears didn't get in, that's when the crowd was like, woohoo, You know, the again, very motivated group of people that have their investment in stopping the wastewater treatment plant and don't and hate Randy Jorgensen and hate Ed Spears and anything they can do to monkey up that worth. Those are the folks who were thrilled about all this. So when it turns out you go through each individual and ask them, like, what was their top two or three, which they did after all of this because they want to have, in case things fall through with Scott Collins, they want to know where they're going. And clearly Ed was the number two choice. Then you had a couple of others who were also mentioned, and Heather Lindsay, who's been a longtime friend of Ed, known him since they were kids, or at least, you know, known him since they were, like, high school together, or teenagers, anyway, she said the reason she didn't vote for him on her top three has nothing to do with personal, it's just that he didn't have city manager experience. Well, my read of the situation is that Ed Spears was being trained, mentored, essentially, to become the next city manager, and there's always that, you know, well, how do you get a job as city manager if you don't already have a job as city manager? You know, you got to get the experience before you can have the experience, right? So anyway, here's my takeaway on all this. It looks to me, based on, again, what they have done, I didn't watch all the interviews of the candidates. I'm assuming that Scott Collins is a great candidate. I don't know, okay? I'm assuming that he interviewed well. Again, I didn't watch those interviews. They weren't available live, and I didn't go back once they became available. If the city council is willing to vote 8-0 on having this guy as their number one choice, great. Maybe he works out fantastic. This is a very important decision. I just think it's weird that they wouldn't recognize the sort of, I don't know, uncertainty of making a final decision based only on these kind of pre-scripted answers that the candidates had in advance. I'm with Jeff. I would want to have two or three candidates and ask them live questions and just see how they do. Because, like, this guy Zimmerman that they added in because he wasn't really on the original list, they added him in because everybody thought, oh, yeah, he looks really good. Let's make sure to include him. Well, he did not make the final cut at all. Nobody mentioned him in their top two or three. Because things can change from round to round, especially as you do different format of getting to know somebody. And, you know, I'm sure most of you who have done any hiring know that somebody on paper can look great and then you meet him, you're like, oh, hell no. You know, or somebody can sound good over the phone, even, especially if you're giving them the questions in advance. And then you meet them in person over lunch, you're like, oh, hell no. So it seems weird to me to make basically this final decision on what was supposed to be just a cut down and then to be done with it on relatively limited information. But it may work out great. The other question, of course, in this situation is, what's Ed going to do? Because he just failed to get the job that he'd been kind of hoping to get, expecting to get. Does he stick around in the current job? How long does he stick around? Only long enough to find out whether Scott Collins is going to actually get the job, take the negotiated salary, and then do well in the first 6 months. I mean, I would assume you've got to be anticipating losing him, too. Because he clearly wants to move into bigger and better things. Now, you know, he's got family and stuff locally, so maybe not. I don't know. I'm just saying that's something you've got to be considering, I would think, if you're the city council at this point. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
A one, two,
Boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka, boom.
You're beautiful, more beautiful than me. You're honorable, more honorable than me. Loyal to the Bank of America.
I love how your brain can know, like, the words. But then if you've seen Stripes enough times, you automatically know the sound of the rifle hitting and hitting. You know, like, yeah, that right at the end. You know that. Like, your brain, you would feel disappointed if that part didn't happen, you know?
100%.
Like, listening to, you know, We Will Rock You and not hearing We Are the Champions. I mean, you would know something is missing. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump's campaign says it's raised $35 million in 2023's second quarter. That's about double what he pulled in during the first quarter of the year. The campaign fundraising efforts have leaned heavily into recent indictments. If you're looking to travel internationally, you might want to go ahead and start that passport application now. The State Department says that there's an unprecedented demand for passports right now. They're advising people to submit applications 6 months before they plan to travel. Current processing times, apparently about 10 to 13 weeks on those. And Threads has launched. That's Facebook or Meta's competitor for Twitter. And apparently it's already garnered millions of users since they launched the app on Wednesday. It allows Instagram users to post short updates, links, pictures, and videos.
Yeah, my understanding of this, I have not signed up. I don't need a new social media service of any kind. But it's my understanding that this is like, so Facebook, you know, is pictures, videos, and text, right? It's genuinely right. A microblogging site, okay? Instagram is really pictures and videos, and then I guess people write stuff. You know, but that's not the essence of the site. This is meant to be text, and I guess also you can maybe do some stuff with video. And you know, it's kind of like the two different versions of the skinny Facebook, basically. You know, where right. Instagram is the pictures and the videos, and what's it, Threads is supposed to be like the text only version, which is kind of Twitter's thing. You know, to be primarily right. text, although it's also lots of links too. So anyway,
they kind of keep taking everything everybody else does, and they're all putting it together and. But they just can't get out from being your grandparents' social media site. You know, that's the problem.
Well, I mean, Facebook is definitely an older site, average demographic. But, I mean, Instagram, you know, all the kids who aren't already hooked up directly by a wire to their brain to TikTok are using Instagram, you know. So, anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. 528 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, interesting little note, just a military note, two things. Number one is, apparently, the Navy, because of the recruiting shortage, which is kind of a problem across the services, they were going to expand the requirement that recruiters work 6 days a week from five. And folks have basically said, you what now? No, I don't think we will do that because, you know, morale is a real challenge. Although the flip side of that is when I first read the story, it's kind of a funny thing about what you assume about your readers. When I first read the story, honestly, because I had just gotten done talking with Brent Lane about his experience on board the Eisenhower, they went on the aircraft carrier. And I was like, well, how many days a week do they work? He's like, seven. You know, I'm like, oh, so I thought this is, at first, I thought this was a reduction. And then when I read the rest of the story, I'm like, oh, no, they're not going down from seven. They're going up from five. So, but they're not going to do it now. Apparently, they're not going to do it. 529 on News Radio 92.3, United States military got involved in stopping not one, but two hijackings of oil tankers by Iran. I mean, this is crazy. They sent boats to harass and, in one case, at least shoot at these boats, you know, oil tankers, and which I would think is bad to shoot at them. But anyway, you know, that's not a good idea, generally. So they shot small arms at them from a mile away. Then they got closer and tried to board them. So we sent a destroyer, said, hey, stop it. And they, you know, they scurried away. But my goodness, this is one of the things, you know, the Navy mission. One of the big Navy missions is freedom of navigation, right? We really are the policemen of the world's oceans and seas and waterways. And in some cases, like here, I mean, a pretty important mission. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
FHP's out as people travel home. More after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. At least four people are killed in Russian missile strikes on an apartment building in Ukraine.
It's feared many people are trapped in the rubble. President Volodymyr Zelensky has promised what he called a tangible response. Being near the Polish border, so far from the front lines, attacks on Lviv are less common than some other Ukrainian cities. Hundreds of thousands moved there from worse-affected areas at the start of the war.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. A Houston man found last week, 8 years after being reported missing, was actually home the whole time, being drugged and sexually abused by his mother, says community activist Cornell X.
I heard horrific things from that young man.
Rudy Farias is 25 years old now, 17 when he was reported missing, saying his mother told him if he left the house, he'd be sent to prison for running away for 2 days. Houston police are not confirming the story. They say they'll share more details about the case today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. It is 77 degrees this morning, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Despite the big numbers out on Pensacola Beach over the holiday weekend, lifeguards say it was actually relatively quiet. There was only one water rescue.
Had a pre-existing condition, was in the water, fell down, could not get back up. Bystanders assisted this individual ashore. Lifeguards went down and provided assistance and notified EMS, and patient was transported.
That's Beach Safety Chief Dave Greenwood. He reiterated his message that the Gulf of Mexico is not a swimming pool, and a green flag does not mean that the Gulf is safe. Rather, it's an indication of the low threat of currents. Extra state troopers are going to be out and patrolling Florida roads for the rest of the week. This has nearly 2.5 million Floridians who are driving as they head home from their holiday vacations, or possibly to or from an air show. Florida Highway Patrol Captain Peter Bergstresser says that you should be prepared, get plenty of rest, and check your car for maintenance issues before you get on the road.
You have different levels of drivers out there with you, and you also have different incidents that are coming up that you may not know about.
And he says they'll be cracking down on speeding, aggressive driving, and, of course, anyone impaired by drugs or alcohol. Pensacola city leaders providing what updates they can on the investigation into the officer-involved shooting on June 28th.
As good an update as we were able to get today is that we don't expect that to be wrapped up at any point this week, aspects of the investigation will be taking place and are scheduled for next week.
And that is Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. He and Police Chief Eric Randall couldn't offer up many other details on that investigation. Chief Randall did say the officer is still on leave, but says his condition has improved after he was injured in the struggle that led to the shooting. It's not known exactly when FDLE intends to wrap the investigation up. Details out now on what driver's licenses will no longer be accepted here in the state of Florida. Governor DeSantis announced yesterday that the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles has published a new list of which out-of-state licenses violate Florida law. Under SB 1718, out-of-state driver's licenses that are issued exclusively to illegal aliens are invalid in the state of Florida. The list contains 12 licenses issued in five states, including Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Rhode Island, and Vermont. It's 534, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms through those afternoon hours, high near 94 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Our rain chance continues on Friday, mainly in the afternoon, with a 70% chance of rain. High on Friday near 92 degrees, dropping overnight near 78 degrees. We're going to be seeing your typical summertime pattern for the weekend, with afternoon showers and thunderstorms, temperatures topping out in the low 90s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 77 in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season.
News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
It's time to get your head in the clouds with Pensacola Air Flight School. Come fly an airplane or let them teach you to fly. From your first flight to the airline captain, Pensacola Air offers affordable flight training for pilots by pilots. For a limited time only, we're offering a discounted Discovery flight over the beautiful Emerald Coast for only $139.99. Pensacola Air Flight School. Book online at kpnsair.com or call 850-316-8825.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, as we typically do on a Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Hope you had a good 4th. Thanks for having me.
Had a great 4th. Big success for the city last night, at least in my opinion. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. The fireworks movement, I'm interested to get in the office today and see how everything went with moving the fireworks on the port. We appreciate Martin Marietta allowing us to do that. And I thought just visually, just getting it closer and it seeming to be even more in the action than when the typical barge, I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, it was
a great port.
It was funny because I have always gotten in the habit of we just go park on 9th and then walk down and at Bayfront, my son and I. And so, you know, the music plays and then we're waiting and then the fireworks start and everybody's like, oh, over there, 45-degree turn.
Right,
it's all good.
Right.
No, but it was really fantastic.
Exactly.
One thing I wanted to ask you about is there's been this local ordinances bill that got passed and signed into law by the governor. In prior years, this was touted as the preemption to end all preemptions. I viewed it as the end or the death of local ordinances, and I know a lot of other people did as well. But, you know, it kind of had some tweaks over time. This year, the way I understand it is it says things like you have to do a business impact for every new regulation. And if a business says that this regulation is unjustified, they can take you to court. And it gets put on hold until the hearing on a rocket docket gets heard. And then even if you do win, it's like 45 days until you can start enforcing it again. If you lose, you have to pay their attorney's fees up to $50,000. I'm very concerned about the chilling effect this will have on local laws, but you tell me, what's your thought about this?
No, look, I agree. if the goal here is to have less government, if that's the argument, is to say, hey, no overreach by government, wouldn't this just create more government? I mean, in other words, what business couldn't take issue with? It could be an environmental ordinance. It could be whatever the topic may be. How are you going to be able to delineate between whether it impacts a business or not? I understand that sometimes decisions made in communities can be frustrating. I was a business that went through COVID. You know, if anybody can relate to how the government was going to tell you how to operate, it's me. At the end of the day, at some point you have to elect people and trust them to be making the best decisions for their city. Whether you agree with them or you don't, you're not always going to agree. But this, I believe this will really hamper our ability to modernize our ordinances, our city, to be able to make changes as time and things evolve. It's going to make it difficult to do. And look, if you're in my seat or in the city council seat with this, what's going to happen? I mean, we're going to be a little trigger shy to do something that we think is good for the community because it might cost us $15,000 of attorney fees at some point. It's easy for me to say I'm in the position to be proposing these things that it would be difficult. But I don't know that this makes us a better city or makes us a better community. That's what I would say to that.
Yeah, and same concerns. And, one of the concerns I have is, I've read a lot of the city charter. I think I've read all the city charter under the Charter Review Commission the stuff that we've gone through with all of that. And I don't see anywhere in our charter where it gives businesses the power to temporarily veto ordinances. Like, they can participate in the process. They can show up and testify. They can public comment. They can lobby their city council members. But this idea that they get to veto ordinances or at least temporarily veto them is weird to me. Also, if this was a great idea, okay, why not apply the same rule to the Florida legislature itself? And of course, it does not apply to the Florida legislature itself. A business cannot object to one of their regulations and put it on hold for enforcement pending the outcome of a judicial review. I'm frustrated with every historical development in this law, and it's less obnoxious than previous versions. Well, but anyway, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Well, look, and I want to add too. Show me an ordinance that 100% of a community's ever agreed on.
Right.
I mean, just show me one. Meaning. Even if it's 80-20 or 85-15 most times, all it takes is one business to not like it, or they don't want this next to their office, or they think it's – oh, if they just perceive that it's going to have a negative impact. I mean, that could be very, very damaging to the growth of the community, I believe. So, we're in agreement on that. I mean, I have some real concerns. And, I mean, yeah, it's all relative, certainly better than what I read last year, for sure. And, again, I'm still learning the nuances of what's been proposed this year, but – definitely concerning.
I'm kind of curious if you have any updates for us on you got a lot of projects that you've put requests in for funding, everything from Hollis T. Williams to the Pensacola Motor Lodge and some other things as well. Do we know anything on where we are with getting these funding requests approved?
We did have an on-site visit from DEO, which is now the Commerce. They changed that name now under Alex Kelly, who runs the Commerce Department, I guess, or is the Commerce Secretary for the state of Florida. But that they had a visit here on, I believe it was June 20th. They went and looked at all five of the six projects we proposed had kind of passed that filtering process, so that was encouraging. And really, we expect to hear something any day now on potential awards. And again, you're talking about a proposed $32 million for Hollis T. Williams, what I believe to be a generational project for our community, for our region, about $10 million proposed for the port, $5 million proposed for the renovation and modernization of Fricker Center. And then we have a couple others. One, you saw the Pensacola Motor Lodge come up. That's actually been part of a $2.8 million grant ask, as well as $5 million for the potential to help with demolition at Baptist Hospital, the old Baptist Hospital. So really all five of these things have some real generational value to us as a city. And we've worked really, really hard. Our entire team, and you think about how many departments that covers when you're trying to file for those grants. It's about almost every department we have has played a role in all of that. So fingers crossed. I mean, I really think this is, again, these are Hurricane Sally dollars, post-Hurricane Sally. There's a lot in play here, and we've worked really, really hard as a city to try to get these done. So again, fingers crossed, we'll see. Hopefully we'll hear something this week, if not next week at the latest, I would think. Yeah, no, good question. We actually had a meeting, myself and our interim Parks and Rec director, Tommy Bird, and I maintain with our team the same thing me and you have talked about, which is if we had rules posted that were going to be very, very difficult for us to enforce, let's not have that happen again. Yeah. So let's make sure that what we do change is going to be things that the day we change it, we can enforce it and have it run well. After a lot of conversations, I've kind of moved off the operating idea for now, or an operator.
Oh, okay.
To be honest with you, we haven't heard many complaints. Seems to maybe that we're kind of getting in a groove. And one of the cool things about it is the skate park kind of takes care of itself, you know.
Well, that was the goal. That's great.
The blowers in the morning. And so we're letting it evolve. But I would say some of the fundamental things, we're going to get some more benches out there. We're gonna close it at 10 o'clock, and then we'll also have the lights, cut at that time, and then we'll have someone out there just to kind of manage it those first 60 or 90 days or so, just to make sure that we kind of get into that habit. But for the most part, we've got about 8 or 9 different things that aren't all just rules. Maybe a couple of those are rules, the time and the plastic pegs on bikes and the things like that, yeah. But for the most part, it's really just things to help enhance. Like, for example, if someone wants to teach classes there, that's great. We want to encourage that, but we'd love to, have their name and make sure they have insurance and those kinds of things. And now you got another advocate for the park, And so, this is a growing process for all of us, but we are in pretty short order. We're going to be putting a couple of these new modifications to rules in place, getting new rules posted, and I would say probably within the next 30 days.
Well, that's great. And sometimes you just let a thing be what it's going to be, and then you find out, as opposed to what you think in advance, what's the real shape of the problem, if there really are problems, right? So that's great, the idea that there's policing themselves. Obviously, you went through. We've got the sign. The welcome sign has been revealed. The street sweeper naming, that was done to big success. I saw Sweepy McSweepface last night when I was down at the fireworks. I just have this good question. And Graffiti Bridge, I think these are kind of three projects that all kind of hang in the same space of like entertaining, public works, getting people engaged, solving a problem, kind of all of that. My question is, what did you learn about Pensacola? Let's just take one of these examples from the street sweeper naming process. What did you learn about Pensacola in this?
Well, really a couple things, and it's really the same in private business, is that, people like to be part of the solution. People want to be included. And back to my 80-20 rule, 20% of people aren't going to like something but we were pleasantly surprised between the welcome sign and the names of how little kickback or negative feedback we had gotten.
Yeah.
And that's pretty rare with contests like this. But I don't know, put my old private business hat on, is like, what does the customer see, and how do you want to engage them as an experience? And make no mistake, these things make things harder for us, right, at the city. There's more complexity. How are we going to do this? And then how do we communicate it? And, that's a lot of time and bandwidth that's being used to do it, but I just always believe it's worth it. And the welcome sign, a perfect example, the street sweepers, and 6,000 names and thousands of submissions and people talking about it. And the funniest part is, we have our awesome crew that drives these street sweepers, and now they're driving by and people are taking photos of, I was like, this is probably going to take a little while to get used to. This has not happened before. They're now becoming celebrity drivers out there on the street. So
that's great. That's got to be a plus for job satisfaction, position retention. All of that. That's so cool. I love that.
I did that last week.
Yeah.
So, right.
At the end of the day, look, I think sometimes it's just worth the extra effort, and we won't always get it right. But at the end of the day, if the end product is that the citizen feels more engaged and they feel more of a sense of ownership towards some of these things that we do, whether it's a sign or a street sweeper or the graffiti bridge, then I just think that's a great thing, and it's worth that time and it's worth that bandwidth.
No, I agree. I think there's great PR things for the city, and just as you say, producing engagement and a feeling of ownership for it. All right, the lightning round. I try to ask you a few quick, fun questions at the end of every interview. If you're going down the Blackwater River or any other river, are you kayaking, canoeing, tubing, or just swimming?
Tubing.
Tubing. Yeah. Tubing. All right, my man. That's right. Yeah, tell Candy she doesn't know what she's talking about. Do you have a favorite patriotic movie that you would have been watching yesterday or would often watch to, like, amp up your Go America kind of spirit?
No, I just, you know, I turn on WrestleMania 3. You know?
Now you're back in Candy's good graces. That's well done. And last one is people do all kinds of like substitutes for swearing, you know, son of a biscuit, Shazbot, Knights of Columbus, murder. Do you have a go-to fake swear?
I didn't know you were allowed to substitute those things. I mean, now that I know that. No.
Yeah, it's like BK. You can have it your way right away.
I can work on employee engagement in the office. Yeah, a little bit better on that too, I guess.
All right, Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. I look forward to the press conference today and, of course, talking to you again next week. Sir, as always, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of your week.
Absolutely. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That press conference was yesterday, of course, since this was a replay of an interview that we did yesterday. If you have any kind of a pest problem, you got ants, you got termites, you got, I don't know, roaches, you got rodents, you got mosquitoes, you know, whatever the problem is, NSEC can take care of it. They identify, target, and eliminate the most common household pests with guaranteed results. Professionally trained technicians safely and effectively will show up, look at what's going on, take pictures, recommend treatment. You agree or don't agree. You know, estimates are always free, okay? If you agree, they'll do what they do. They'll tell you what they did. They'll take pictures of the after, and they'll send it all to you so that you know exactly what happened. If you're dealing with the ants, like fire ants particularly, they got a one-treatment system that bonds with the soil and works for an entire year of fire ant protection. $25 off right now, a new fire ant contract. Also, regular pest control, like full-year contracts, $50 off, including, for example, mosquitoes. Like, if you need a mosquito management plan, they will identify the mosquito species that is plaguing your yard, and then they'll find a specific solution to solve for that so that you don't have to deal with those issues anymore. Call them and find out, you know, what it will cost to have them take care of you. That's the whole idea. You know, make an adult decision. Also, NSEC is now hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Great pay and benefits, 401k, health insurance, opportunities for growth. Apply at workwithnsec, ENSEC.com.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. The University Commons is located in the heart of the UWF Pensacola campus and is home to over 126,000 square feet of usable event space, providing a welcomed home to events both large and small. Join Kenyatta Cox on the Pensacola Expert Panel as she shares more about the UWF Commons and why you should host your next event in this landmark building. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
It's the 2023 Blue Angels Air Show at the beach, and you can hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio and tune in starting at 11 to hear the narration from the News Radio team, plus insights from former Blue Angels boss, Captain Greg McWhorter. This Blue Angels broadcast is brought to you by Bobby Likas Auto Service, Cannell & Company Realty, Doug's Auto Supply, and Pro Health. Be sure to bring your radio to the beach to hear the Blue Angels on
News Radio 92.3.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of their delicious southern sides. Backed by popular demand, every Thursday is Shrimp-tastic Thursday, featuring $5 off their popcorn shrimp dinner or all-you-can-eat popcorn shrimp dinner. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where southern and seafood meet.
Hurricane season is here. Don't wait until your Generac generator is needed to make sure it's in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today and schedule maintenance of your generator. With the most Generac certified technicians in the area, they'll make sure your generator is good to go. If you need a new unit or replacement unit, remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you'll never spend a dime until your unit is on your property. Call White Sands Electric today, 850-433-6080, for all your electrical and generator needs.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I know my rent.
What do they call you?
Bob?
No, your call sign.
Bob.
I know my rent was gonna be late about a week ago. I worked my ass off, but I still can't pay it though. But I got just
off in this club. Have me a good time before my time is up. Hey, let's get it now.
Yes, yes, yes. It is Blue Angels week. Practice today at 2. You can go out and watch. Then Civilian X practice tomorrow from noon to 2, and the Blues at 2. And then on Saturday, of course, the Civilian X at noon, and then at Blues at 2. And I will be out on the beach with Tammy Martin from 11 to 12, broadcasting live. You can listen to us here on 92.3, 95.3, 1620, on the app, online, any way you like. And the good news about the Saturday show is that from noon to 2, I talk with Greg McWhorter about Blue Angels stuff, and then we carry the Blue Angels music and narration from 2 to 2:45 when they get done flying. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, UPS and the Teamsters Union still not seeing eye to eye in their contract negotiations. There could be a strike on the horizon. Company officials and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters have been unable to come to an agreement so far. The strike has already been authorized if a deal isn't reached by the end of the month. We're seeing reports that 5 people were hurt in a shooting in Fort Lauderdale last night. This happened at an apartment complex. Police say two groups were arguing. 2 people that were shot are juveniles and 1 adult. Has life-threatening injuries. Researchers now say they've seen the first case of a brain injury in a female athlete that previously had only been seen in male athletes. An Australian study shows the first case of CTE in a female athlete. Australian football player Heather Anderson, her brain showed she had early-stage CTE. She committed suicide last year.
I hate to be the guy to say this, but the injuries to female athletes, particularly in the sport of soccer, is something that people don't talk about very much. And whether it's just trauma from high competitive environments, whether it's the female body is not built the same way as the male body to handle that trauma. You know, I hear stories about, you know, knees is a real common problem, right? You know, especially later in life. And look, you're not doing a lot with your head most of the time in soccer, but you do take headers, you know, and you do have incidental contact and things like that. Sadly, not surprising that you would have some of that. Rarely, perhaps, by comparison with the men, but still, somewhat. David, thanks so much for the update. And of course, you know, it's not necessarily in soccer that you see the most of that, but boxing, football, you know, rugby, things like that. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Ben and Jerry's are getting Bud Lighted. This is one of those stories where it's kind of...
Everybody finally figure out what they stand for?
Yeah, that's the thing that cracks me up about this story is, you know, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. I don't favor boycotts, but I do understand the frustration at how the left is good at boycotts and the right doesn't do anything. So in the end, if one side's using guerrilla tactics and the other side won't use them, is that, well, yeah, I get it. That's the problem. So although I think it's dumb to boycott Bud Light, that's something that every other company has done. So which is the safe beer? There aren't very many. And also, don't treat products on the basis of, you know, philosophical or, you know, cultural positions. You're supposed to separate those things from each other. Okay, but I'm preaching to the wind on this because I get it. The left does this already, so what's the right to do? Well, Bud Light has been the target of the collective suppressed rage of all the people over the craziness of the gender anarchist agenda with transgender stuff. Now Ben and Jerry's, right? Ben and Jerry's on the 4th of July put out a tweet saying, you know, hey, look, as the 4th of July, who doesn't love a good parade, some tasty barbecue, and a stirring fireworks display? The only problem with all that, though, is that it can distract from an essential truth about this nation's birth. The U.S. was founded on stolen indigenous land, and it's time to commit to returning it. And so people are like, all right, let's get them now. Let's not buy Ben and Jerry's. And, you know, long overdue for the Bud Light treatment. You hate the country? Fine. We don't buy your product. All good. But my thought was just yours, Candy. Like, did you guys suddenly discover who Ben and Jerry's is?
There's a whole festival.
Yeah, they're
dedicated
stuff like
if
that.
If you're just now figuring out that Ben and Jerry's is a radical leftist group,
your home for Brian Kilmeade weekdays 11.